Well, amen. What a blessing it is to be in church tonight. I trust that you've enjoyed the music and the message and song and just the opportunity to be back in fellowship with the family of God and His church, and now looking to look into the Word of God and receive something from the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel, now we have been going through and studying the different books of the Bible, the divisions of the Bible, and we'll get back into that. But Lord, just this whole last week, it just impressed upon my heart to bring a message that connected to last Sunday morning in Sunday school. We studied on the family revival, and it's just something that I feel like we need to do tonight. And 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to be reading verse 27 to verse 29. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together tonight. Eli was the priest in Israel. He raised two sons, and they didn't turn out the way that God would want your children to turn out. And so let's look here. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. "And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to offer up upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. Honorest thy sons above me. Honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, just pray that you would just continue to speak to us tonight. Thank you for what we've already received in the message of song and just the fellowship and the encouragement that we've received from one another. But now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture and break it down and learn the intent that you have for us to gain from this, I pray, God, that you would just give us that insight, empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God's charge against Eli the priest from the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe that God established. They were to handle the worship of God. They were to handle the sacrifices made unto the Lord. They had a very important position in the nation of Israel. And Eli was the priest at this particular time, and he allowed his sons to abuse the position of the priest. And so now we find that God sends a prophet to Eli, representing God's word, and he tells Eli that thou honorest thy sons above me. This is a lesson on biblical parenting. A lesson on biblical parenting. But let's look at here, chapter 2, the whole story. We're just going to kind of look at the story and find out what really took place. And 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They were not serving God, even though they had the position that God had established, but they didn't know God. They were not using the position to serve God. They were using the position for their selfish desires. Verse 17, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." When they looked to that position that they had and they look how they were abusing it, then it hindered people from obeying the word of God and taking things to the priest and honoring the Lord with their sacrifices. So they were a hindrance to the entire nation of Israel. They were a hindrance to the will of God. They filled a position as the Lord's priest, but did not have a relationship with God. Can I tell you, that should be a parent's worst nightmare. That we have children who might attend church and even be on the church membership roll. Might be working bus ministries, might be serving in the junior church, might be working in the nursery. They're involved in the work of the Lord, but they don't even know Him. It's possible to be raised in a Christian home, have your membership, your name on the membership, and never get saved. Verse 22, Eli knew about their evil ways. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. Now he was the high priest. He was above them. And heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. And how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And because they didn't, God was going to slay them. So Eli knew about their evil ways. He voiced his concern, but he allowed them to continue in the position that he assigned them to. He didn't remove them. He didn't protect the nation of Israel. He didn't protect the people of Israel. And he honored his sons above his God. Verse 27, verse 28, as we read here, the prophet came and he reveals to Eli at this time, God sees everything that's taken place, and he tries to help Eli to understand that God had chosen him. He chosen him as a tribe of Levi. This is the position that Almighty God established and blessed him by putting him in the position he had. And yet when he put his sons in the position that they had, allowed them to continue, even though he knew that they were disqualified and they were a hindrance to God and to God's work, he left them in place. Matter of fact, he even must have profited from the sons taking more from the people than what they should have been taking. They were abusing their positions for personal gain. And the Bible says here, God says to Eli, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves. So he included Eli in this, fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. You even benefited it for yourself. And you allowed it to continue. He honored or valued his relationship with his sons above God. Wow. Now, can I tell you, as a parent, I could see how that would be a possibility for somebody that was ignorant of the Word of God and did not understand how that would work in the end? Some parents, they just put their children up on a pedestal and they can do no wrong. Chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. As we continue the story on what God sends the prophet to Eli saying that he's going to act upon this. And now when Samuel is starting to come to age, where Samuel now is getting to the place where he is going to be the next prophet and priest of Israel, God reveals this to Samuel as far as what he's going to do to the sons of Eli. If you will, in chapter 3, verse 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. So once it starts, it's all going to be finished. I'm going to discipline, I'm going to judge them at the same time. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, he restrained them not. He didn't do all that he could do. Yeah, every child has their own will. At a certain point, you've instilled within them all that you can. You cannot force them to do what you want them to do. So we got to get to the place of what would you have me to do? How would you have me to deal? And the main thing is, put God first. You'll make a mistake every time when you honor your children above honoring God. That was the jest. That was the main thing. And he restrained them not. This is what God is revealing to Samuel concerning why he is going to judge Eli and his two sons. Chapter 4, verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. They lost the power of God. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Look down to verse 18. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward. This is Eli. He fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Wow. In the end, no one benefited. In the end, what he thought he was doing in enabling his two sons was actually putting them in a place where God would take their lives. God would judge what they were doing and what they did. No one benefited from handling things this way. The message that God has for us from Eli and his two sons is the idea there again is we cannot honor our children, respect our children more than we honor and respect the very words of God and the commandments of God. We're to learn from this. We're to learn from this very sad story when it comes to raising children. Now, we have here the adult version of what took place, but can I tell you that they were raised? And possibly some of the very same mistakes that Eli made when they were older, he made when they were younger. Now, that's not always the case, but we find here the situation. All children need to be raised to believe in a creator God. The goal of every parent is to make sure that you've done everything that you can do to lead your child to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can't get saved for them. You cannot force them to get saved, but you can raise them and give them the example and give them the testimony and give them the encouragement and give them all that you can give them to the place where they will want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Every child, God wants every child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The way that God wants them to be raised and encouraging them, admonishing them to know God. Especially if you're a Christian parent. Christian parents. Can I say, especially if you are a Baptist? Because you know the Bible. You know exactly who God is. He reveals himself to us as we preached on this morning. You know God's plan of salvation. Can I tell you that there's a lot of children being raised to believe that as long as you're just a good person and your good works will outweigh your bad works and you're going to go to heaven. That's all you have to do. There's a lot of parents raising their children, as long as you show up on Sunday, you can live however you want Monday through Saturday, but as long as you get your name on the membership roll and that you're in good favor with the church, then you're going to go to heaven. And they're raised to believe that until they get old enough to start thinking it through and thinking, well, that doesn't make sense. There must not be anything to what my parents have taught me. There must not be anything to. It's just a facade. It's just a game, a religious game. And they don't take it serious. And they live a life opposite the will of God for their lives. Parents, the mind of a child needs to be understood by the one who designed it. And study the scriptures, as we're going to go through some things here in just a minute, some scriptures that God gives to us that helps us to realize what is actually instilled within the heart of every child and what you need to do to get that foolishness out and how you're to raise them in the nurture and admonition, how you are to instruct them, how you are to live a Christian life before them and pay close attention to how they are receiving what you're giving to them. There's people in good Baptist churches that are teaching their children things that are not biblical. And when their children get older and they realize that, well, that's really not biblical, and they were taught that it was, and then again they start questioning, what else did they teach me that wasn't true? We have to be very careful as we raise our children to make sure that we raise them to believe in a creator God and understand this Bible right here is God's message to mankind. This reveals who God is. It's not from the philosophies of the parents. It's not the philosophies of the church. It's not the name over the church building. It is what the Bible says. You'll never go wrong if you instruct them from the Word of God and are able to go to the Bible and say, I'm doing this because this is what the Bible says. I'm allowing this because this is what the Bible says. I am not allowing this because this is what the Bible says. On and on and on. You are raising them to understand a creator God and His design for parenting. God has a design for marriage, and God has a design for parenting. And His design is flawless. It's when we get in there and we start interpreting it a different way and teaching something that's not in the Bible and doing things that's outside the will of God, that's when we make mistakes. And our children's minds pay for it. Really do. Well, as long as we're not in town, we don't have to go to church. As long as the preacher doesn't know about it, it's all right. No, you're not looking to please the preacher. You're looking to please God. Yeah. Sunday's the Lord's day, no matter where you're at. No matter what's going on, Sunday is the Lord's day. You tithe because you want to please God. We pray because we want to please God. It's God's design. I go to church because I want to please God. It's God's design. Whatever it might be, I am following the very words of God. I am Baptist because it's the Bible that makes me Baptist. Why are we going to a Baptist church, Dad? Well, because I believe the Bible. And if I believe the Bible, I'm going to go to a church that is teaching the Bible. Simple as that. Yeah. All children, it's God's will to be raised to believe in Him. He allowed them to do what they wanted instead of what God said. Yeah. God first, spouse second, amen, and then children. You don't put your children above your spouse, and you don't put your children above God. He honored his sons above God. And then the Bible teaches us how it all turned out. It's not what we want for our children. Children are to honor and obey parents. Ephesians chapter 6, no doubt, we know that to be true. There's characteristics of children who are not honoring their parents. As a parent, sometimes we're blinded to it. And maybe some of these characteristics will help you to take the blinders off. A child is not honoring and obeying you if they are self-centered and want instant gratification. I want what I want, when I want it. And parents cater to that. That's not raising them to honor you. That's not raising them to obey you. That is not raising them to believe in God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, look over there with me. The book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, has much about raising children. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, understand this, parent. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's there. That child is going to be selfish because their foolishness to thinking that the world revolves around them. And you cater to allowing your children to think that the world revolves around them. They don't know any better because their world is their own house. Yeah, that's all they know until they start getting older and start going out and experiencing other things. That's their world. And you allow them to be selfish. You allow them to want what they want and get what they want when they want it. That's just a sign, characteristics of children who are not honoring and obeying God. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Rod of correction. Another characteristics would be they despise being instructed or told what to do. I've seen children put their fingers in their ears. I'm not listening. And the parent just smile at it. What are you teaching that child? No, you see, when you instruct them, you ought to expect them to do what you tell them to do. When God instructs us, can I tell you that God expects us to do what he tells us to do? And if you want God's blessings, you do it. If you want God's chastening, you don't do it. And that's the same way that we ought to raise our children. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instructions. Do you really want your child to be raised as a fool? When you allow them to despise your instructions and they don't listen to what you tell them to do, you're allowing them to go in a direction of a fool. That's what the Bible says. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Wow. They do not want to work. You know, you have to instill within children a work ethic. They will lay back and let you cater to them and do what they want you to do and what they tell you to do as long as you'll do it. They'll let you go in there and make their bed, clean up their toys. And that's just when they're little, and they'll continue to do that as they get older. Lamentations 3:27 says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It's good for children to have responsibilities. It's good for children to learn to work. Because children grow up. We have to make sure that we are programming their minds according to the Word of God. Not only that, but they'll not show respect to any authority. If they're not respecting your authority, they will not show respect to any authority. Eli's sons were not made to say, "Yes, sir," and "No, sir." You say, "Preacher, that's a thing of the past. Kids don't say that today. That's the problem." You understand what responding to an authority by saying "yes, sir," and "no, sir," and "yes, ma'am," and "no, ma'am." You know what that does? It's teaching them respect. It's teaching them to honor authority in their lives. It is programming this mind that God designed. It's programming that. Your child needs to show respect for authority. Make them look at you. It's disrespectful when you address somebody for them not to look you in the eyes. It programs it right here. Parents need to make your children look you in the eye and instruct them and make sure that they follow through with your instructions. Proverbs chapter 20 again. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. To disrespect your parent to that place, God says, "I'll deal with that." His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's what the Bible teaches. It's what the Bible says. In the Old Testament, they could actually have their children stoned by disrespecting their parents. Now, I'm not advocating that today. Amen. But I'm advocating the principle behind it. The fear in that child to know that if they do not respect authority, they're going to get it. Yeah. I probably shouldn't say this, but as a pastor and being the pastor of the church, I learn a lot about what goes in your home by how your children respond to me. Especially staff children, yeah. I really do. Because I'm in their life, I'm part of an authority as a pastor of the church. I won't take that any farther. Children are to obey, honor, and obey parents. I mean, that's Christianity 101, raising children, Ephesians chapter 6. Parents are commanded to discipline their children upon the authority of God, no matter what the government says. God did not give the authority to the government. God did not give the authority to the church. God gave the authority to the parent, and he gave the church to the parent to help them. Yeah. If we had time, and we're running out, so I don't want to go there, but 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find the qualifications of the two positions that God established as an example to his flock, the church. The position of a pastor is an example to the flock. The position of a deacon in the church, the qualifications are there for an example to the church. And one of the things that both of them have to qualify for an example, being an example in the church, is have their children in subjection. Matter of fact, look there with me, 1 Timothy. I do want to show this to you. I want you to see it. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. One that ruleth his own house. Means you're in control of your family. They respect you. They honor you. And you have a rule over them that God has given to you. As a pastor, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity or with all seriousness. Down to verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Anyone that lives under your roof, ruling your own houses well, according to the words of God. Most parents would rather not, but it is commanded of God that you discipline your children. Stop listening and stop reading books on parenting that are in opposition to the main book that has been designed by the Creator God, this Bible. If it opposes what the Bible teaches, burn it. Get rid of it. That's man's philosophies, and I would rather follow God than man. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I don't have much more, but I want to share this with you. I want to give this to you. Parents need this because it is opposite what you will receive in humanistic philosophy on raising children. And how to deal with adult children as well. They're your children. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod. Now look right here. I mean, this is the words of God. Hateth. That means it is doing the very opposite of love. The worst thing you could do. He that spareth his rod is the worst thing you could do. It's as if you hated that child and you wanted to do the worst thing you could do to that child. Don't spank him. Do not discipline them. It's the worst thing you do. The Bible compares it to you hating that child. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means before it's too late. You understand what they need and what you have to do to give them the best chance to do right. The best chance to form their minds the way that God wants that mind to be formed. It's out of love. You don't want to. Sometimes you think, I don't want to have to deal with the hassle afterwards and all the different, listen to me. God says, if you love that child, discipline that child. Chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. As long as you are raising that child the way that God wants you to, there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't let them determine how you discipline them. You discipline them according to the word of God and the wisdom that God gives you as you seek his direction. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. That's not humanistic philosophy, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself to do what he wants to do and to be raised the way he wants to be raised. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Wow. Got to believe that. It's Bible. Erase everything that's in opposition to that that you have received from the philosophies of the world. You have to. Verse 17. Correct thy son. Now, if you notice, the Bible is using son. It goes for the daughters too. You know? Yeah. Now, a smart child would say, that's not me. I'm a daughter. I'm not a son. No, but that could be presented as child, okay? Your child, your son, as well as your daughter. All the girls are mad at me now, I'm sure. They thought they had this figured out. Correct thy son, verse 17, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You see how that it has impacted his life and how that it has helped him to become the man that God wants him to be and the woman that God wants her to be. You'll eventually reap. And I trust that you're reaping blessings. How you've sowed and raising your children. A few thoughts on basic disciplining of children, and I'm just going to go through these really quick. Establish proper behavior at every age. You don't expect from a 2-year-old what you will eventually expect from a 5-year-old, and then what you will eventually expect from a 12-year-old, and then a teenager. And then a young adult. As a parent, you have to instruct them on what your expectations are. Establish proper behavior, what you expect from them at every age. Do not make unnecessary demands. Do not focus on the little things all the time. Do not nitpick on little things. A 2-year-old is going to be a 2-year-old to a certain extent, but they should never disrespect a parent. They should always obey and do what you say. They should always look you in the eyes. There are some things that you are helping them develop their minds. And if you do it at 2, it'll be easier at 5. And if you do it at 5, it'll be easier at 12. And if you do it at 12, it'll be easier at 17. Because you've developed the mind of that child. Establish proper behavior. Establish the penalty for disobedience. Let them know ahead of time. If you do this, that is unacceptable. And if you do that which is unacceptable, this is what's going to happen to you. And then be consistent in following through what you say you're going to do. You're developing that mind. Amen. And again, if you started out, the earlier you started out, the better it's going to be for you and that child as they get older. This is biblical principles that God gives us. In discipline, get alone to avoid embarrassment and outside interference, especially if grandparents are around. Yeah, because they will cry with the grandchildren. But they need to be disciplined. And you're the parent. So get alone to avoid embarrassment. Instruct why you're doing what you're going to do. And take it back to God. Because God loves you and He's instructed me on how to raise you. Show, express grief over the offenses and your need to have to discipline. Every parent ought to discipline their child with a tear in your eye. Even if you have to get some Visine, put it in there. Seriously, though, that's showing that you've hurt me. You've hurt me. I expected more from you. Can I tell you, when we sin against God, He expected more from us. Now, He will chasten us, but it's not what He desires. He would much rather show blessing than judgment. Yeah. Associate that love with discipline. Discipline until the will is broken. Discipline until the will is broken. However long it's going to take, however far you have to go, if it's going to be effective, you have to break the will. Not the spirit, that's abuse, but you break the will. You get them to submit to authority, and you are the authority that God has placed over them. Discipline until the will is broken. Again, you start at 2, it makes it easier to break that will at 5. Makes it easier to break that will at 12. Easier to break that will at 17. And it's just the opposite if you don't. Sometimes it's too late. Discipline will only cause more rebellion. Establish a child's responsibility to make restitution when possible. If they stole something, you discipline, you understand, go through all the mode, and then say, all right, now you have to take it back and tell them you're sorry. Now you're in for a battle. Amen. But that is establishing a mindset. It's developing their minds. Real quickly, the benefits for your child when raised according to the Word of God. They're raised to know that they have a sin nature and there is a penalty for sin. They can't get saved until they get that. There's a penalty for sin and they have a sin nature. They have to understand the wages of sin before they can ever get saved. And so the sooner you instruct them, the sooner you help them to learn that, the sooner they'll come to that place where they can get saved. The benefits, raised to learn self-discipline. No successful person has ever been successful without being disciplined. An undisciplined person will continue to have problems throughout their lifetime. Raised to believe in God. Wow, that's important. Raised to believe in God. Just having them in church doesn't guarantee it. You've got to take them through everything that God tells you to take them through and developing their thoughts. Raised to get saved as soon as possible. They'll be raised to know how to raise biblical children, if you will, your grandchildren. You'll benefit from that in years to come. And finally, raised to be prepared to stand before the judgment seat of God. If they're raised properly, they'll get saved and they will avoid the great white throne judgment. But as believers, they'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what they've done as a Christian. And they'll be prepared. Keep that in your mind. Your child, if they live past the age of accountability, will stand in judgment before an almighty God. And how you raise them will be determined if they're prepared or not. If they never get saved, they will stand at the great white throne judgment. Even though their name might be on the membership list, even though they might have had a position in the church, but as Eli's sons, they didn't know the Lord. And they will be cast into outer darkness. They will perish into a place of eternal damnation. That ought to help every parent to want to raise biblical children. Let's not make the same mistakes as did Eli, the prophet Eli, the priest Eli. Let's learn from that and be determined to raise biblical children. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Example of Eli and his two sons, God's recorded that for us. Sad story. Very sad. It's always a sad story when a parent loses a child to sin, to the world. But are we doing all we can do to help them? Are we treating them and handling them the way that God instructs us to? If you can just imagine this, God loves your children more than you do. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but it's true. He sent his son to die for him. He placed them into your care. Children are a heritage of the Lord. He gave you that child, the life of that child. Raise that child according to the wisdom of God. It'll make a difference. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of the Bible. Thank you for the story that we've read and studied concerning Eli and his two sons, and help us to learn from it. Father, I pray that you would bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name.